lives in your praise. The Word of God says He inhabits the praises of His people. Now, with that being said, His presence is now here. We can clap our hands now to dwell in the presence of an Almighty God in this place right now. And I believe that the platform has been set, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. What'd you come to this house with here today? What burdens have you been carrying? What worries have you been carrying for far too long? What sickness might you have? What depression, what oppression, what binding spirit has been trying to hold on to you for so long? You're in a place right now to where all of that can be completely delivered. You're in a place right now where all of that can be completely delivered. Do you realize? I'm going to try to get through this really quick, but I'm feeling good right now. Do you realize that anything can happen in the presence of God? I've seen cancers fall off. I've seen families brought back together. I've seen addictions completely leave. You say, well, Brother Carson, I've been holding on to this for quite some time. It can leave in the next 2 seconds if you go ahead and believe that God can do it. If you go ahead and allow your Holy Ghost to take control of what you've been going through, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. If you don't believe it, right now is your time to start believing it. My. It feels good in this place tonight. As you return back to your seats, I'm going to try to reel this thing back in just a little bit. I got here tonight, and after I put my message together, usually I like to go to the church office and print it out. Just about a few moments ago when we had prayer for Sister Parrish and Brother Lewis, I about had everybody pray for the church Wi-Fi as well, because it would not allow me to print out my message. So, that's why you see this up here. There's a first time for everything. And if it's going to happen, it might as well happen at Landmark. Amen? Amen. So I promise you, that's why I turned my laptop on. My mom can attest to this. I am not on sermons.com. But I do have a message that I feel as though the Lord has laid on my heart. And I hope. Nope, take that back. I'm expecting God to reveal Himself to someone possibly in this place that hasn't sensed His presence in quite some time. When you're up here on this platform, you look around, you see new faces, and you see the expressions of people. I've seen, Landmark, I've seen everything up here just about. I know Pastor has seen far more than me because he shared a couple things out. I've been standing up here before in the middle of the Holy Ghost, Brother Nathan, just preaching my guts out, and look out there and see a kid with a lollipop, spinning a lollipop in his mouth going out here. I've seen people blowing bubbles at me while I'm preaching. I've seen people in the far back, Brother Bennett, in times past, in the middle of preaching, lift up a big old giant 2-liter Mountain Dew and start chugging because they were thirsty in the middle of service, you know. You see a little bit of everything when you're up here. That's not a band blast. But another thing that I see, too, almost every single service is I see how the Spirit of God moves upon our guests and our visitors. And I also see how the presence of God moves upon those that have been here in times past, but maybe it's been a little while since you've been here again. You come through the doors and something has drawn you here. I'm going to say something. I know what it is, but something has drawn you here, and you get in the middle of the presence of God. You get in the middle of the preaching, in the middle of the singing, and you just slip a hand up in the air, and next thing you know, you've got a tear. You're trying to fight back from rolling down your cheek. The Word of God says that no one comes to His presence unless the Spirit draws him. You're here because the Spirit of God has drawn you here. You're not here so that you can just get a Band-Aid and be gone for another 2-3 months, a year. You're here because the Spirit of God is saying, where have you been? Where have you been? I've been trying to bless. I've been trying to reach. I've been trying to touch, but I haven't seen you in so long. Where have you been? And there's a recommitment that immediately begins to try to unfold in the lives of guests and visitors when they come to this place. And I see it every single service. Today's nothing different. My prayer for you is this, that you recognize that no matter whatever may be in your mind, whatever might be trying to hold you back, whatever might be trying to satisfy you outside there, that you'll recognize that everything that you have been looking for, you have finally found yourself in the middle of it right here at Landmarks United Pentecostal Church. That's why you feel the peace that passes all understanding. That's why you feel that joy that you haven't felt in so long, because you are finally home. Wow. Let me try to move right along. I got a message, like I said, I feel as though the Lord has laid on my heart. And you're going to find it humorous when you find out exactly how I got this message. But let's go ahead and get started. A recent science experiment to test the ability of the human eye found that if the world were completely flat, now listen to me closely, if the world were completely flat, that the human eye on a dark night could see a candle burning 30 miles away. 30 miles. I got a scripture we're going to get to in just a second. But 30 miles away. That's from here to the Ashboro Zoo. Trust me, I know it. I walked it. I know every single step between here and there. 30 miles. There is something about a light that causes the human eye to zone in and completely focus in on nothing else but simply that light. A child could be in a massive field in the middle of the night and see a lightning bug just a good ways away and immediately run to the exact location that it was. How do they do that? Because nothing else mattered as soon as that light was shown and they focused intently on where it was. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Psalms 119, verse 105. Psalms 119 and 105. Bibles, iPads, iPhones. I can now honestly say laptops. Don't bring laptops to church. Psalms 119, 105 says this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Somebody say a light. Say it again, a light. Proverbs 6 and 23 says this. For the commandment is a lamp. Somebody say a lamp. And the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So once again, light. And then the last scripture, Isaiah 60 and 1. Arise. Somebody turn to your neighbor right now and look at him and say, get up. Now I know you're standing. If you're seated, you should be standing up. I'm talking spiritually speaking now. Get up. Arise. Shine. For thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Oh, we're not sounding like an apostolic church. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Several scriptures on the spiritual enabling power of light. My prayer tonight is that someone in this place allows God to shine a light on what He is trying to reveal tonight in your life. I want to preach a message simply entitled this, A Light Thing. A Light Thing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now and ask God to continue to move like He's already done. Holy Ghost, God, we are so grateful and so thankful for such a special opportunity and privilege, Lord, to be in Your presence once again. God, we don't take this, Lord, lightly and just as though it doesn't matter, but God, we see the importance, dear Jesus, of being in Your house and in Your presence. God, I'm asking You right now, Lord, to speak to each and every one of Your people, God. Challenge us, move us, stir up the gift of God that's within us, dear Jesus. And we'll be sure to give You the praise and the glory for it. And everybody say with a triumphant voice, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. I promise not to be too long-winded tonight. I do believe that it's supposed to get pretty bad weather-wise outside. I woke up this morning and my wife said, it's raining outside and they're calling for flash floods. So I'm going to get you out of here a little bit early so you can make it out of the church. Hopefully the creek's not going to overflow. But have you ever found yourself sitting beside a fire, staring into the flame and realize you have been doing it for a long time? But for some reason, it was comforting. Somehow in the process of initially looking at the flame and time itself, you found yourself letting go of all other thoughts and worries and just focusing on the light emitted from the flame. I find it funny sometimes because our young people, we love to have bonfires, and they like to have bonfires. I had a little experience across the creek over here one time, and I don't care for them as much as I used to, but they're still fun. Showed up one day, and I told my wife, I said, I'm going to get this bonfire together, Brother Bailey, and we're going to set it up. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be crazy. It's probably going to be the biggest bonfire we've ever had. And luckily, Brother Mike lives right over there, and I lit this fire. It wasn't windy. Didn't have a burn permit. You know, all that stuff. And I lit the fire, and I'm standing beside it, and it was going good. It was going really good. No wind, like I said. And then all of a sudden, when the flame got about yay high or so, this wind came out of nowhere and hit the top of it, boom, right down the middle of it, and all of a sudden, little sparks just went out everywhere around the flame. All I had in the back of my truck was, if you're a deer hunter in here, you'll know what lucky buck buckets look like. They shouldn't be called a bucket because they're about this big. All I had was that and a creek that was almost dry and tall sawgrass all the way around the bonfire. Immediately, flames began to rise up everywhere. I ran this side, I got the bucket of water, tried to pour it, I ran over here, got a bucket of water, tried to put it out, ran over here, got a bucket of water, tried to put it out, could not make it happen. And all of a sudden, I hear, when I look, and Mike's coming down the road on his tractor. Comes up there and saves the day. Only after Brother Carson has burned almost half the field on the other side of the creek. I honestly thought I was going to have to call my dad and say, hey, good news, church is paid off, but the insurance paid it. It got away from me way too fast. But I say all that to say this. Our young people, we love to have bonfires, and it's amazing to me how you can have so many young people around a bonfire, and all of a sudden it gets really quiet, and you begin to look around, and you'll see a young person just staring at the flame. If you leave them alone, they'll stand there for quite a bit of time. And then finally, when you walk up to them, tap them on the shoulder, they'll jump and look back, and they don't even realize, Brother Bennett, that they have been staring at this flame. But in the process of staring at that flame, because everything else is dark around, staring at this flame, they're forgetting about everything else. Nothing else matters. No worries, no fears, no nothing else in their mind except for intently staring at the flame. From the beginning of time, when God said, let there be light, and he separated the light from the darkness, there has been an innate fascination from humanity on the undeniable authority that a single light demands. A single light. Sometimes we tend to overlook it, but if we place our mind on it for a minute, we will recognize it's something very powerful. Very powerful. We spend thousands upon thousands and sometimes even hundreds of thousands in the construction of homes and businesses. And after everything is set and done and all the money has been given and all of this, everything's ready to go and it's time to purchase lights, we go to Walmart and we purchase a $2 light bulb. $100,000 home, $2 light bulb. How come? Because it doesn't take much light to completely change the look of any size room. It doesn't take much light to change surroundings, no matter how big they may be. It only takes a little bit of light to affect a huge area. Acts 9, verses 1 through 8, kind of a lengthy scripture, but we're going to take our time and read through it. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 8 says this. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether there were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Freeze. Unfreeze. Freeze. So we find him, he's basically against everything that's good, everything that's right, everything of God, And in the process of doing this, he believes, hey, I'm in the right. I'm doing what's supposed to be done. And all of a sudden, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Next scripture. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? It's kind of funny, isn't it? Who art thou, Lord? Sounds like he already knew. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Next scripture. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. This is what I want us all to read right here. Start reading. And when his eyes were opened. Remember that. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man. That's my favorite part of the scripture, I would have to say. If Pastor was here, he'd be laughing about this story that I'm about to tell him. When me and Pastor one time, it was actually probably about a year or so ago, and when he finished his cancer treatments, he found that throughout the treatments and throughout all the chemo and the radiation that he was going through, that when it was all finished and it was all said and done, that his equilibrium would be completely fried. And immediately following all these treatments, Pastor found that it was somewhat hard to walk during the day. Mom's kind of laughing right now because we had to make humor out of it because that's just how, you know, it was just going to be. It was either laugh or cry, and we didn't want to cry anymore. We were out of tears. And so Pastor had a little bit of a hard time walking, and through much work and just walking time and time again and falling time and time again, he finally figured it out, and now to this day, he's got it. He's good. He's able to walk. But don't let it get dark. Because when it gets dark, there's a few people in here that know about this. When it gets dark, Pastor can't walk. The equilibrium is all fried and it's messed up, and he'll fall to the side, he'll fall. Well, it was probably about 2 years ago, 3 years ago or so maybe, and me and Dad found ourselves going on this hog hunt in South Carolina, and we got way back up in this swamp. I expected it to be something that we get out there and you get in a nice stand and you're sitting there and, you know, you're waiting for it and they bring breakfast in the morning. We got on this little boat and traveled down this river for probably about 3 miles or so, and then finally got out there, and there's this little itty-bitty trailer sitting there, and the guy says, okay, we don't go hunting until night. At night, we'll go out, and you get this little light goes on top of your scope, and you'll sit there, and you wait for him. As soon as Dad heard night, he said, Carson, I can't walk. I said, I got you, Dad, we're good. Nighttime came, and we made our way back into the swamp. Now, when I say swamp, I'm talking about this is Shoot 'em Elizabeth type of swamp stuff, you know. And we get way back up in there, and Dad gets in his stand, and he's sitting there. We're in there for probably about 4 hours or so, and then all of a sudden, it's time to go. We hadn't seen anything, and I'm getting out of my stand, and I'm walking through the swamp to find my way back to the path, and all of a sudden, my phone rings. I pick it up, and it's Dad. He says, Carson, get here. I said, Dad, I'll be there in just a few minutes. Just stay in your stand. He said, I'm not in my stand. I said, where are you? He said, I don't know. I said, well, when you got out of your stand, you go to the left, you go, I don't know. He said, I'm knee deep in mud and I'm sitting on a limb. What you just did is what I did. I told him, I said, well, just shine your light. I said, and I'll turn my light off, and I'll locate you. And so I started walking in his direction where he was hunting, and I turned my flashlight off, and I'm looking around, and I see this just single little itty-bitty light. So here I go trudging through the swamp, and finally I got back there to him, and there's my dad sitting on a limb, knee-deep in mud, with the saddest look on his face that any man should ever have to have. After getting my dad out of the swamp and back to the trailer, he informed me that he would never do a hunt like that again unless it was during the daytime. In class the other day, we were working on some nighttime law enforcement training, and this is where this message derived from. We were placed in scenarios around 10 o'clock at night, and one of the things that we were taught was that when approaching a car at night, an officer can shine a light across the eyes of a person in a car window, just really quickly, just across the eyes of a person in their car, and for 10 seconds or longer, never less, scientifically proven, their night vision will be lost. And for 10 seconds, you have just a brief amount of time to assess the whole area and make sure that you are safe. For 10 seconds, you have the upper hand to make sure that you are completely safe. I say all that to simply say this. I believe that sometimes people find themselves being able to see a little bit too easy in dark places and able to walk in dark places without fear of outcome or losing out with God simply because they have been in the dark far too long. We find ourselves in situations to where we walk around and we're involved in these situations, or we're close to these friends or these people that we shouldn't be around, and we're finding it easier every single day just to walk in that darkness. We find it easier to skip out on certain things. We find it easier to talk a certain way, to act a certain way, simply because we find it easy to see in dark places. We find it easy to be able to talk about our neighbor, to be able to gossip a little bit, to be able to speak badly about someone else or the other or this person, simply because we've been in it for far too long. But all it's going to take for you to be able to lose that night vision is simply a little bit of light shined in your face. There's something powerful about a light. It immediately draws everyone's attention to it. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter your background, it doesn't, like Pastor said this morning, it doesn't matter if you have family that's been in the church for all your life, it doesn't matter if this is your first day coming to the church. As soon as a single light is in view, your attention goes to it. Brother Jay, help me out. As soon as a single light is turned on, everybody's vision goes to it. Now, when the light shines in your face, I'm a youth pastor. This is how I teach. You'll never forget it. You don't want to look at it when I get close to you, because as soon as the light is shining in your face, when all the other darkness tries to surround, you find it hard to see what's even right next to you. Jay, turn them back on. Many of you do this number. How many of you love to be waking up in the morning by your husband or your wife and all the lights all of a sudden poof, flipped on, you know? You went, ah! You start seeing spots everywhere. I know me and my wife, when we first got married, we was on our honeymoon, and the very first morning, I found out that she likes to get up about 5 o'clock in the morning and just start her day. None of this slow stuff. My wife goes from, okay, let's go, let's do this thing. We got people to save. We got church. We got. And I'm thinking, huh? And so she hops up and she comes up. She says, hey, you got to wake up. We got to go. We got places to go. We got to go. And I looked at her. I said, if you want this marriage to last, you think I'm joking. You ask my wife after church, and it's the exact words I said. Why? Because immediately, when you're so used to being in the dark, these lights could be turned off, and they could stay off for about 1 minute to 2 minutes, and every single one of you could get up in this room and walk around without bumping into chairs. You could walk around without bumping into your neighbor. You could even recognize the person across the church in just 2 minutes of being in the dark. But after that amount of time, as soon as the light's cut on, everything's disoriented, everything's messed up, and you can't recognize anything else anymore. And then all of a sudden, you become dependent upon the one single light. I know a story about my dad. We was out hunting one day again. It got dark. Dad grabs the back of my shirt whenever it's time to come out of the woods at night, and he walks really close, and I walk really slow. I decided one day, Brother Nathan, I was going to help him out, and I had my flashlight, and Dad had forgotten his flashlight, so I got my flashlight, did this right here, trying to help him out. Next thing I know, I hear, flop-plop. Turn around, Dad's on the ground. He looked at me, he said, don't ever shine a light on the ground for me. Why? Because when it's nighttime, yeah, you can laugh because it was great. I am praying right now that, you know, he can't be watching. He's preaching. Everybody say a word of prayer for Pastor in High Point now. Because when it's nighttime and that single light shines on the ground, all of his focus. And nothing else is around. Nothing else is in the area. And there he goes. It's funny. You can't help it. But I'll try to draw y'all back in here real quick. Try to get a sermon out of this. What do you say? Again, like I said, though, I believe sometimes that we as people tend to get just too caught up and too comfortable in our surroundings. We come to church, we get blessed. We come to the house of God, and we're praying, we're repenting, we're believing and trusting in God, and all of a sudden, we get a great miracle from God. We get a heavenly touch from God. Mom begins to hit the notes on that keyboard, and then all of a sudden, all the angels jump in behind her and start singing, and the choir is great, and then all of a sudden, we're feeling wonderful. We're feeling empowered. We're feeling blessed. We're feeling anointed, and we're thinking, yes, we've got this. We can take this for forever. We can live with it. We can make it. We can go another day. We can go another week, and then we get outside, and we realize, hey, we walk right back into that dark lifestyle that we came from, and we get comfortable once again. Our eyes adjusted to what was good and what was holy and what was great and what God desired of us. And then as soon as we walk away, we step away from it and we go right back to the lifestyle we were in. And then not only just a few hours, but maybe just a few minutes into it, we begin to recess back to what we once were. And we justify it all by saying, well, I went. I heard the message, I heard the song, and I felt the presence of God. It was good. God's hand must be upon me. I must be okay. I must be safe. I must be saved. I must be fine. Immediately we start allowing ourselves to get that night vision once again. To where while we're in the middle of it, we're thinking, I'm not stumbling as much. I'm not hurting as much. I'm not doing this as much. I'm not addicted to this as much. I'm not talking like this as much. I'm not walking like this as much. I'm able to see a little bit better. I'm okay. I'm fine. No, you've got night vision, and it's time to step back into the light. It's time to step back into what God has planned for you. I wish someone in this place here tonight would recognize that God has got something so much bigger for you than anything that this world has to offer. God has got blessings upon blessings that you have yet to see. God has got blessings for your family. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for your children. He's got a plan for your home. He's got a plan for your finances. He's got a plan for your family. He's got a plan. There's a direction in which God is trying to take each and every one of us. And if we allow ourselves to get caught up in the dark places, if we allow ourselves to get that narrow-minded night vision, then we will forget on what God is trying to direct us in. It's a light thing. That title has a couple meanings. Number one, of course, it's light. Number two, it's not that much that you've got to do in order to be able to walk in the presence of God. It's a light thing. You see, the Lord doesn't require much, but the enemy requires everything. Say, well, I don't know if I could commit myself to that. I don't know if I could commit myself to that lifestyle. I don't know if I could commit myself to that much Bible reading. I don't know if I could commit myself to that much prayer. I don't know if I can commit myself to that much dedication. I just don't know. It seems kind of heavy to me. No. It's a light thing. It's a light thing. But then on the other hand, I just don't know if I can do it. I'm just gonna go ahead and do what I've been doing. I'm just gonna go ahead and act the way I've been acting. I'm just gonna go ahead. Then all of a sudden, years down the road, you're gonna find yourself so torn and so beat up and so disfigured and so messed up and so addicted and so afflicted that one day you're gonna find yourself sitting in the middle of your mess and saying, how did I get here? This is just too heavy. I don't know how I can carry this anymore. I don't know how I can make it anymore. I don't know how I can walk anymore. I don't know how I can talk. I gotta get back to the house of God. I've got to get back where I know things are good. I've got to get back where I know things are holy, where I know that I can live a life that's holy and dedicated to an almighty God. This is too heavy. You say, well, right now it's not too bad. Right now it's not too hard. You're heading to a bad path. Can I take a minute here for just a few minutes? Me and my wife are in the process right now. I'm trying to get some information together on this new thing that's going out right now. It's kind of a rave. Many of you parents might know about it. I guess the title of it is 13 Reasons Why. 13 Reasons Why. Now, the understanding that I have about this that's going on right now is just the story of a young girl that committed suicide. Correct me if I'm wrong, babe. There's a story of a young girl that committed suicide. And it is the whole story is about why it's this person's fault, why it's that person's fault, why this person said this and it led to this, and why this person did that and it led to that. And it's a beautiful thing. And all of a sudden, all of this amounted to, all of this piling up, and now she's committed suicide. And oh my goodness, it's because of everybody else's fault. Listen, if your kids are caught up in the middle of this, or mom or dad, if you're caught up in the middle of this, it's time to trash this stuff and throw it out the window. Because I'm telling you right now, the world is so messed up and so dark and so dirty that when a person can say that suicide is a beautiful thing, I'm telling you right now, it's time to call down some strongholds. I'm sick and tired of the world trying to misconstrue some things and try to say, this is okay, that's all right. You can talk like this. You can act like this. You can walk like this. You can do this. Because living for God is too hard. It's not too hard. It's a light thing. You see, because when you can commit to something that's bigger than yourself, you're going to be able to stand up one day in the middle of your situation, in the middle of your friends, in the middle of your school, young people, hear me now, and you're going to stand there and people are going to look at you and say, what is different about that person? I'll tell you, it's a light thing. What is it about that person that draws me to them? What is it about Landmarks United Pentecostal Church that I've got to get in the door every time those doors are open and I've got to sit there? I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what I've been doing. I don't know what it's all about. I just got to get there. Let me tell you, it's a light thing. Come to church and get caught up in the emotion. Come to church and get caught up in the music. Come to church, get caught up in the singing. Get caught up in the preaching. And you walk away from here and you think, oh my goodness, yes, I feel so great. I feel so wonderful. I'm glad. I'm happy for you. But it's something that's bigger than a song. It's something that's bigger than a sermon. It's something that's bigger than a candy rain. It's something that's bigger than a youth service. It's something that's bigger than a drum player. It's something that's bigger than a guitar player. It's something that's bigger than a chair. It's something that's bigger than a bass. It's something that's bigger than an altar. It's something that's bigger than a chair. It's something that's bigger than anything that you can imagine. It is a walk with Almighty God. You say, I wish I could just find out exactly what it is that I've got to grab hold of. I wish I could just lock hold of something that would never let me go. I wish I could just grab hold of something that would keep my mind the way it is right now at this very moment. Landmark, I'm in the Holy Ghost right now and I can sense it. I can feel it. There's visitors in this place right now that are thinking, what is this that I'm feeling? What is this that I'm sensing? What is this that I'm hearing? What is this that I'm thinking? What is going on? I can't think of anything else that's worrying me. I can't think of anything else that's been stressing me, that I've been addicted to. I'm staring at a flame. Just like at the beginning where I said it's amazing how an individual can stare at a fire. Raise your hand if you've ever done it. Just got caught up staring at a fire. Can you attest to the fact that when you're in the middle of doing it, nothing else is on your mind? It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Works better than NyQuil. Works better than antidepressants. A fire. Just a simple light. And that's what you're in the middle of right now. But this isn't something that should just last for just the next 5 minutes that I'm going to be preaching, possibly. This is something that you should be able to take home and that you should be able to wake up in the morning to. You should be able to walk into work. You should be able to walk into school, walking in the middle of that light at all times to where nothing else can affect you. Nothing else can bother you. Nothing else can put you down. You're not depressed anymore. You're not sick anymore. You're not hurt. You're not bound. You're not addicted. You're not afflicted anymore. How come? Because it's a light thing. I'm calling for each and every person, each and every individual within the sound of my voice right now to begin to recognize what it is that you possess. It's not just a simple skin body. It's something that's far bigger than anything you can imagine. You possess a light that someone needs to see. You possess something that when the world shuts down the lights and they try to make everything else dark and they try to make everybody else comfortable, that when you walk in, they should shake their head and say, "What's going on? I can't do anything else but focus on you. I can't do anything else but focus on what's happening on that hill over there in Landmark. I can't do anything else but focus on the miracles, on the signs, on the wonders, on the prayer, on the fasting." Somebody, I wish you would help me out right now, because we're in the middle right now of what God is trying to do for this church. This is far bigger than what we have in this room, and it's bigger than what we're building over there. It's bigger than what 21 acres can hold. When you get to the point, hear me, young people, when you get to the point to where you don't have to depend on somebody else being the light that you have to stare at, and you can become that light, you can become that witness, you can become that person that can stand in the middle of your school and say, "Look, you want to know how to make it to heaven? Yes, you got to have faith, but there's some other things that got to be attached to it, because faith without works is dead. You got to repent. You got to be baptized, and you got to receive the Holy Ghost." And I'm not talking about a fluffy feeling. I'm talking about evidence and speaking in other tongues. Yeah, you hear me right now, young people? That's the light that I'm talking about. When we can get to that point, everybody stand right now. When we can get to that point, when we can get to that place, mom, dad, that's when you'll be able to do this number right here. You'll be able to walk up to your kids and say, "You going through some stuff? Can't see it anymore, can you? Going through some situations? Mom and dad been praying. Can't see it anymore, can you? Battling a little bit of addiction? Not anymore. Having a hard time touching the throne? Not anymore. Having a hard time dedicating? Not anymore. How come? Because I got something that God gave me. I told you it was going to be simple, but I got something that God gave me. And it's a tool." Listen, as officers, they get 10 seconds. We get 10 seconds to look in that car. Swipe. Is there a gun? Is there a knife? Is there drinking? Does this person have another person? Is there somebody hidden in the trunk? Is there something in the car? Is there a bomb? Boom. 10 seconds. How many parents, how many people are here right now would give their last drop of blood to possibly have 10 seconds of exact cooperation by the person you've been praying for right now? But you see, we're not dealing with a flashlight and a suspect. We're dealing with a light and a lifetime. My Jesus, my Jesus. There's such a power and such a force that's in this place right now in the Holy Ghost, to where you can walk up to that person. You know who they are. I wish right now that you put a name in your mind right now, whether it be a son, a daughter, a mom, or a dad, or just a coworker, a friend, whoever it may be. You're in a position right now to where God can empower you in such a way that you can walk up and you can say, "Poof." And Paul, it's not going to last 10 seconds, buddy. It's going to last a lifetime. Just like Saul when he was on that horse. He thought, "I'm doing everything right. I'm doing the work of the Lord." The Bible says that a light shone down, and after he opened his eyes, he saw no man. What does that mean? He was blind until he saw nobody. Does that make sense? Saul was blind until he couldn't see anybody else. Because when he fell off that horse and he opened his eyes, there was nothing else in this world that had his vision. There was nothing else in this world that could take his vision. And that's what I've been trying to get to the whole sermon is simply this. Your vision that the Lord has laid on your heart, your vision that you've been praying for, your vision of your family living for God, your vision of your finances being blessed, your vision of whatever it may be, addictions fleeing and being broken down, you're not going to be able to see until all you can see is what God has placed in front of you. I just wonder right now, can we lift our hands all across this place? Because there's something that's about to happen in this house right now. I believe with all of my heart that the Lord is getting ready to shine down on somebody in this place. That somebody's getting ready to let go of all of their other worries, all of their other cares, all of their doubts, all of their fears, all of their addictions and afflictions. And they're simply getting ready to say, you know what, God? I want to see. God, I want to see the way you want me to see. God, I want my vision. The man of God was surrounded by armies. Keep praying. The man of God was surrounded by armies, and it looked as though that the battle was lost. And the servant came to him and said, Master, what do we do? We're surrounded. What do we do? And he laid his hands upon him. He said, Lord, let him see. The young servant opened his eyes and looked to the hills, and they were full of angels and chariots of fire. I'm telling you right now, there's something that needs to be seen that you haven't seen yet. There's a hope on the horizon that you haven't seen yet. There's peace on the horizon. There's my. Somebody, come on, lift your voice in this place right now. I'm speaking faith. Believing in the unseen. Come on, I'm speaking faith in someone's life right now. This is what we're about. We're all about taking something that the enemy's trying to say, hey, this is what you got to deal with. This is what you're going to live with the rest of your life. And we're all about turning it around and saying, no, not with my God. Come on, apostolic. Come on, Holy Ghost-filled young person. Come on, mom. Come on, dad. Block everything else out right now. Nothing else around you. Come on, let that light knock you off your high horse right now to where you can't see anything else except for his glory. Until you can't see anything else but his presence. You can't sense anything else but his presence. God, I gotta have you. There it is. Come on, it's here right now. I wish someone would step out and just begin to walk. Step out and just begin to walk. In his presence right now, God. Lord, I want that vision, dear Jesus. Lord, I want to worship your name, oh God. There you go. Come on, somebody. Let go and let God. Yes, God. Come on, what you're praying about is not too big for God. Don't let the enemy steal your vision. Something big happening in this house right now. Come on, don't stop. Come on, somebody, lift your voice in this house right now and let that Holy Ghost go. Walk in faith, standing upon his word. God, it is happening right now. Somebody, if you gotta find somebody. Somebody might need a little bit of help right now. Lay a hand on their shoulder. Come on. Trust in God with them. Believe in God with them. Come on. The enemy's trying to take your vision. He's trying to make you satisfied with where you're at. You're so much bigger than this. You're so much better than this. So much greater than this. When God made you, he didn't make a mistake.
Will no others come? He said, it doesn't matter. I will be the one. Oh, and I will be the one to worship your name.
There's a sweet presence that's here.
My hands.
There's a sweet. Presence here right now.
To
Holy
you
God. Come on, somebody, just soak it up.
Embrace.
I wouldn't leave this place until I got every promo that I need. God, it will always sing. There's no doubt that there has been a special touch of God's presence that's been in this place. Why don't we do this? Why don't you turn around and shake someone's hand? Before you leave, find somebody that you don't know. Go up and introduce yourself. Make a friend. And God bless you tonight as you're dismissed.